Pray that you would take our worries, that you would take our fears, that you would take our anger, that you would take our passions, our lusts, Father, everything that would displease you and keep us from seeing you, Father. I pray that you would take those and you would cleanse us, Father. I pray that in this day that we would look into your word and that your word would fill us and it would give us power to go out and to serve you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We live in crooked times. That's the thought that's going through my head all week. I saw something on TV. I shouldn't watch the news first thing in the morning because I get up in the morning and I'm just going and my brain is going 100 miles an hour and I take my shower and I'm getting in there and my brain just keeps going faster and faster. My husband told me this morning that I was going to use up all my words for the day before I even got out of bed and I wouldn't have anything left to say. But I don't think that's a problem because my brain is always going. And so I get up and I get in the shower and I get going and I go out in the kitchen. And I'm like, okay, calm down. You'll get everything done today. Don't worry about it. And then we turn the news on. And that's the problem. I shouldn't do that. Actually, I don't always do it, but it's on. And so the news comes on, and you just about got yourself in a good attitude, and then everything comes on and tells you all the problems in the day and all the problems in the world and why you should worry about your finances because the economy is going bad, and you should worry about crime because they're going out and killing people, and you should just be really worried. And so then you have to take another half hour and get your brain all, you know, straightened out again. But the craziest story I heard recently, a bunch of third graders, and I have a third grader in my house, and so I just cannot fathom this. 9 third graders got mad at their teacher because they were too loud in class and she yelled at them. And so they got together at recess and they planned how they're going to kill her. And one of them took some plastic and was going to put it over the windows. Another one was responsible for bringing a steak knife from home. They just basically divvied out all the tasks, and it would have worked except for the steak knife that they brought was broken. And so they were caught. And I think to myself, we just live in crooked times. What is wrong with this world that third graders, they couldn't even prosecute them. They were too young, and it was in Georgia. And so I think to myself, what are we going to do? How can we impact our world when it's so messed up? And I thought about the Tower of Pisa. Actually, my son thought of it. It was a pretty good illustration, and I was proud of him. And it was built in the 1100s, so 900 years ago. And only a year or so into construction, which isn't far back in those times when they have to do everything by hand, about a year or so into construction, they figured out that the second floor was a little bit off. And they tried to figure out why, and they went down, and sure enough, the foundation was off. They hadn't put enough dirt or whatever, I don't know how to build a building, but they hadn't girded it up enough. And so beginning in the very first year, the building started to tilt, and they thought to themselves, we don't have time. There was a war going on in Italy at the moment, and we don't have time to fix this foundation. We'll just leave it. No one will notice. It's just a little off. Well, nowadays, we all notice. We go, you know, if you get to travel to Italy, you'd go, and you definitely want to see that because, you know, it's worldwide. But, you know, for 900 years, they haven't fixed the foundation, and just recently, they had to close it to sightseers because the foundation was so bad that if you went too far up and too many stories up, you could topple their money-making sightseeing thing. So I thought to myself, you know, we live in crooked times. How do we fix the foundation? What do we do? And so I have 3 stories to tell you this morning, 3 women that God took their lives and they lived in really crooked times. I think you'll relate to them because they sound a lot like our times. And see what they did to fix the foundation. We're still talking about them thousands of years later, and God has really laid them on my heart and helped me. And everything I'm going to talk about today is a problem I have. So don't look at me, because I really struggle in these areas. And basically, I want to take you, first of all, to Romans chapter 1, because it talks about the crooked times that we live in. And it says in Romans 1, verse 18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They know what's right. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead, they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image, made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And for this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, and this sounds like our country, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, I can't pronounce the next word, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. We live in crooked times, don't we? Every single one of those things has been on the news lately. You know, though, I watch the news, and the thing that God reminds me is that it's not just out there. It's right here in Centerville. In fact, it's right here in this room. In fact, it's right here. Romans chapter 3, if you just flip over to verse 10 of chapter 3, says, as it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. Every single one of us have gone away from God, and we are all crooked, and we just ignore the foundations. We just ignore the parts of our lives that are evil. God says in Philippians 2:15, he wants us to be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the middle of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. He wants us to be different. He wants everyone to look at our lives and say, wow, they're not crooked. I wish I could get straightened out like they are. So let's look at Sarah. Sarah lives back in Genesis, back in chapter 12. You could go way back to the beginning of the Bible and get to Sarah. And she had a crazy life. I've moved a lot of times. I've moved 20 times in my life, and she moved more than I have. In fact, I think she lived in a tent permanently, which I've gone camping enough to know I wouldn't want to do. And her husband followed God. God gave a promise to him, and she followed her husband. But she lived in a crooked time where her family, while they said they would believe God, they said they would trust him, they didn't. And so it was just a lot of talking, and she had to put up with it. In fact, her name originally was Sarai, and that means contentious. It means she just didn't want to put up with it. She was the half-sister of Abram, which I think about that too much, and I think, boy, I'd be contentious too. I'd have to put up with him, not just part of my life, but my whole life. And she lived a long time. She followed Abram when God made a promise to him to give him a land, a seed, to give him, wow, what a promise. And she followed him. He was going to be the father of all nations, and that would make her the mother. And yet years went by, and years went by, and years went by, and God did not seem to be keeping his promise. So I have to wonder if she maybe was contentious with God too, saying, God, hello, I'm getting older, having hot flashes, what's the problem? So one time, she was very beautiful. One time, Abram, the land wasn't growing very much and they were running out of food, and he was wealthy, but he decided to keep his wealth, and so they moved down to Egypt, and he said as they were getting close, he says, now, Sarah, you're beautiful. And Pharaoh, he has a harem full of beautiful women, and you're better than all of them. So tell him you're my sister. I don't want him to kill me. And the Bible says that out of loving kindness to him, which I looked that up, and that means that she had made a promise to love him, so she did. She said, okay. And sure enough, they get into Egypt, and Pharaoh comes after her, sends his guards, and they come get her and take her to the harem. And God thankfully punished the whole